Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingola Consulting in collaboration with Stericycle Communication Solutions. Cingola Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by a healthcare organization. Our mission is to help organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. Stericycle Communication Solutions is a service of Stericycle Incorporated and is the industry-leading communication solution provider for inbound, outbound, and automated call center communications. Today, we bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversations about their patient experience with a focus on the developments, integration, and optimizations in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Fran Horner, co-founder of Cingola Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. And we've got a great topic today. It's entitled, Is It Time to Centralize? You know, at Cingola Consulting, we're often asked, why should we consider a centralized access center? And I guess the best answer is really by shifting perspective and thinking simply, patients are consumers. And as consumers, they're really they're accustomed to being served when, where, and how they choose. They want to do business in a single interaction, not in a siloed environment that involves being transferred to a multiple of clinical departments. They want their experience to be easy, to be relevant, and more importantly, personalized, delivered by people who care and are empowered to help. You know, it seems so simple. So why is it so hard to deliver on that promise of care? And that's why I've asked Mary Parlette, Senior Administrator of Operations, to share some of her insights and lessons learned from centralizing the Communications Center at Rochester Regional Health System. Let me tell you a little bit about Mary and why I think she is particularly and singularly in some cases the real expert to ask. Mary joined Rochester Regional Health System in 1987 and earned her registered nursing degree in 1996. And since then, she's held several progressive leadership roles within RRHS. For the past 10 years, Mary has served in a director role with the Division of Patient Financial Services. And during that time, she provided leadership to the Central Business Office, the Department of Patient Access, and the organization's implementation of a system-wide electronic medical record. Most recently, she's been the senior administrator over the medical groups, leading strategic planning as well as serving as the program champion for this patient engagement initiative. So, Mary, we are so excited to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's get started. Let's jump right in. First of all, congratulations on the opening of the new Communications Center. It's a very exciting time for you and for everyone at Rochester Regional Health System. You know, would you mind just sharing the strategy and the vision behind it?
Wow, great question. So, as you alluded to, I think a little bit in my introduction, and thank you very much, we actually went on an electronic medical record back in 2011. We're a pretty big organization. We have, two large acute care hospitals at the time. Now we're up to five. But during that time frame, really started to see the reason why we wanted to start to centralize. That EMR really, we thought, allowed us to work more efficiently, as well as work maybe even from afar and in a centralized manner. So initial vision was kind of put it up and run with a central scheduling model. Since that time, really the shift has not only taken us in a little bit different of a direction, but it's also broadened the horizons with regards to healthcare reform. So vision really for us is meeting the needs of the patient as number one, but also meeting the needs of really where we are with healthcare reform and how our organization is going to move forward in this climate.
You know, Mary, you've done a great job making it easy to understand what's really changing in healthcare. And I was hoping you would describe that for the audience so that they could have a better understanding of what's driving this change.
Absolutely. So You know, healthcare has changed. My current role in operations of our ambulatory medical groups, which are our employed practices, we have primary care, we have specialty care. That role has really allowed to me to see the change in healthcare overall. So we know, you know, from a community, from even a national level, we know healthcare is changing. But what does that really mean to the practice? What does that really mean to the organization? So we are really seeing the shift with our patients. We are seeing a shift from loyal customers to more of a consumer. We are seeing a shift of educated customers, patients who understand that the way their healthcare is delivered should change. They think it and understand now that expectations around it should change. So we have really seen the progression towards a more proactive environment for healthcare versus reactive. In the old days, we all are very familiar with patients calling to receive care. They get sick, they call, the doc says, come on in, we fix them, we send them home. If they're not feeling well, they call us back. Life has changed. It is the provider, it's the doctor's responsibility now to manage populations, not just manage requests for service. So that shift has really come to us in the forefront, because as we try to manage operations, that shift of consumerism, that shift of educated consumers really has forced us into a new culture. It's forced us into a way of thinking we have to do things differently.
Well, I think, and that's probably one of the reasons the communication center is so at the center of this entire shift of the way that we're doing business. So looking back at the process, at what point did you and Rochester Regional start to consider a centralized contact center? And really, what helped push you to make that decision to make it a reality?
Absolutely. So I think I mentioned a little earlier, the EMR, the actual installation of the electronic medical record, kick-started the idea for us to at least centralize our scheduling. We knew that in that electronic format we could see across the system, so we knew it felt right to probably move to more of a centralized scheduling model. With that said, as we brought up that EMR, and now have been on it since, again, end of 11 till current, we have felt the growing pains of the EMR. And as any organization who's done this knows, you can't add bodies necessarily to get through the bumps and the humps. So we had providers who were working harder and longer hours. We had nurses who were doing and still are doing, you know, work in a different way that they'd never done before. We had a shift of work move to our administrative and clerical support in the offices, and you know, right in the forefront, any good leader is going to say, "How do I help? What do I do to change it?" And again, knowing that you can't just throw bodies at things, you start to think about how we can do it in a more effective and more efficient manner. The centralized communication center was really developed in a vision and a strategy perspective from that. How do we take work out of the offices, out of the facility, where it does not need to be done, so that shift to provide that now consumer, if you will, in the patient world, with the right care, the appropriate care, the timely, great quality care, without making those same folks who are doing that good quality-driven work burdened with all this extra tasks that have come from EMR. So really, the communication center, I like to call it more than a contact center or a communication center, I like to call it Population Management Central. And the reason for that is because we are trying to find ways to support those practices, be an extension of those practices operationally, but still meet the demands and the needs of where we are in the current healthcare environment.
Well, I do know intimately how challenging it was to move from conceptualizing this project to implementing it. But talk to me a little bit about how did it get started, how did you get support for it, and what were the obstacles that you faced, and how did you overcome them?
Actually, we were very fortunate. We actually have a great executive leadership team here in our organization, and the president of our hospital system actually is very well-renowned to keeping himself up to date on what's going on in the healthcare environment. Actually has a finance background, which is good. And so realistically, we had been talking about it for years and throwing the idea around. However, most recently, he, along with the rest of our executive leadership team, have stayed well informed of what other best practice organizations were doing. So really took some time to investigate that a little bit and validate that it could be potentially the right thing to do for our organization. So great support at the executive suite, C-suite level. Got invited in to have some conversations around that. We're able to obviously engage in our consulting relationship and really just validate it was the right thing to do. So again, how did we get there? We got there through that great vision and buy-in from our team, because without that, this really wouldn't have taken off. With that support and that willingness to invest, we said, okay, great, we want to do it, but how do you do it? And we really had to look at what we had in place today that was already performing, at least in some capacity, of these roles and tasks that we felt this new center would maintain. We actually identified several call centers throughout the organization, and some small, some bigger, and said, step one is putting those together. It's really co-location, it's cohabitation of those centers to understand really how we can find synergies, because every task they're performing is important, but how do we do it more effectively? So we, again, buy-in, got to do that, got to co-locate all those. Have there been challenges and barriers? Absolutely. Really needed to decide on space, for example. Very important piece. Average call centers, and I think normal maybe communication centers in the industries, are sitting probably in basements. We had to decide where we were going to live. So we identified a great location, again, with the executive leadership support, built out a beautiful space in one of our corporate locations and found a great space, and then we co-located. And realistically, still in the infancy stages of that, but that's when the work really began. In addition to that, we also had to align our parallel work that was going on in our organization. So now have taken the Communication Center initiative and really aligned it with all of the other strategy in the organization and vision and projects that are going on, and actually trying to find the synergies there to not only identify the opportunity with regards to our practices and our physicians in our offices there, but also what else the Communication Center can do for the organization as a whole. Barriers, Fran, I think you referenced, cultural transformation is hard. Co-locating people in itself is hard, but trying to get folks to see the new way is not easy. We are in a healthcare environment, and healthcare workers are typically, again, very reactive. We're trained to respond to those who need us, and oftentimes we are not as proactive. So really getting a group of folks to think differently, to see things differently, for folks to realize that we didn't really understand how probably to best run a communication center, best set one up, really develop it and implement, that's been really hard. So bringing the people along, the cultural transformation, and then probably really in addition to that, getting the rest of the folks in the organization to understand. We live it, we breathe it. It's pretty easy for us to see the vision. Bringing the others along has been a little bit of a challenge. However, again, I think the leadership at the executive level, a good communication plan is helping us to get there, but still bump into some of that as well.
Well, I can tell you that, I've been living and breathing it alongside you, and it's been a tremendous project to work on. I'm in all honesty, it's been an honor to work with you. Typically, when we look at projects like this, we're very focused on that whole idea of people, process, technology, and measurement. And we do that because we know that regardless of the technology that you put in, that's the enabler that helps you deliver that great service. But really concentrating on the people who deliver the service, they're really the conduit for it, is the most important. And that change management piece is huge. I think you guys are doing a great job with communication, because that's key in this, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, Fran, the people piece is so important. Again, historically in healthcare, we tend to, put people in roles that maybe don't belong in roles, or maybe it just becomes a point in their career where they need a different role. And, ironically enough, in our organization, we found seats for these folks in our communication centers. And, it's interesting going through the engagement with yourself and really starting to learn what a great call center really needs to look like. You realize quickly that people are key, and that you need the strongest of the people in the seat on the phone, because that first sound, that first voice, that first response, whatever that first initial reaction is what's going to drive that connection to the patient. So people is everything, and yes, communication. you know, change management is difficult. We all know that folks go through stages of grieving and so on and so forth through that. So communication needs to be key.
You know, and I've heard you say that the communication center is really Population Health Central, and you mentioned that a little bit earlier. But can you tell us really what does that mean?
Absolutely.
How are you going to use the communication center for that? Yeah.
Absolutely. So, again, kind of going back to the theory or the thought that we're trying to take a work away from those sites, away from those busy practices that are trying to provide care. In our community, we are starting to move from fee-based service to more value and quality-focused service and more pay-for-performance. And with that said, comes a lot of work at the practice level. And as the shift from fee schedule reimbursement methodology shifts to pay-for-performance, so does the work. So that work changes. And again, more proactive than reactive, we are going to be responsible as a healthcare organization to manage populations of patients, whether they're, those populations are flagged, if you will, or indicated by disease state, chronic condition, whether they're groupings of people who are attached to a certain insurer. We are going to be responsible to, again, manage the populations. There's a lot of work in doing that. You really have to figure out how to connect with the patients, right? But then you also have to help them navigate and coordinate their care. Population management, for example, in a quality world like we're moving to, is really around measuring colonoscopies, making sure people had their mammograms, making sure that they went in for their blood tests. And you do that by hopefully outreaching and engaging to patients. So, again, not a typical call center that is just sitting waiting for people to call with requests, but also, just as importantly, the outreach and the identification of these specific patient populations. And then how do you connect with them? How do you get them to want to do what they need to do to maintain their health and come in for services? So that's where I kind of relate the center to population management.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because really what you're talking about is patient engagement strategies. I think when Singola arrived at Rochester Regional, it was really the big focus. How do you want to engage your patients? Because you can't deliver that great service until you determine what are those engagement points and how am I going to reach out, build rapport, and tell them we're there to help them. What do you think those engagement strategies look like at Rochester Regional, and what are you doing to ensure that you're engaging patients?
Great question. So I think in healthcare for a very long time, we have really focused, and rightfully so, on the patient experience, making sure that from that first point of contact, request for service, or even walking into one of our facilities, that it was all about the patient experience. As we shift in this new world of healthcare reform, what is clear now to us, and with the help of Singala, obviously, was the fact that the engagement piece is so important. How do you engage your patients? An engaged patient is going to want to come for services. An engaged patient is going to want to maintain their health. An engaged patient's probably going to follow up on what they're supposed to do. So really, a big shift for us, and really, again, a new way of thinking that it is about the experience, but that patient engagement piece is so important. So, again, looking at the center as a way of patient engagement strategy, and how do we use the center from an engagement perspective to reach out, to touch patients, to make them engaged, if you will. The center actually has been blessed as part of its coming together to identify, going back to your point earlier, of people and technology. We actually are going to begin a new project in the next few weeks of actually bringing in some new software that will enable patient engagement. One of the things is, you know, patients really want to be touched and reached out to in a communication preference that they want. Not everybody wants to use the phone. Not everybody wants to use email. Not everybody wants to use chat. However, how great would it could be is if we could touch every patient in a preference that they have chosen. So, again, a part of patient engagement strategy to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the customer and their way that they want to be reached out to. So really key in combining that engagement and that experience piece.
Yeah, kudos to you guys, because being able to build an omni-channel contact center that really does look at patient preference and channel communication is key to that engagement. You know, we talked about people and being able to provide them a great working environment. I know our audience can't actually see the communication center, but if you go on our website, there is a picture of the communication center, and it is awesome. So we've looked at that people piece for people engagement, because if you don't have employee engagement, they certainly can't deliver great service. We have patient engagement going on, but processes are big as well. They really are the enablers that help us streamline a workflow, standardize. And I'm not saying cookie cutter when I say standardize. I really mean being able to have a consistent level of service. And you've done a lot of work towards that. Can you share some of that with us?
Absolutely. So I think just going on the EMR kind of forces you into a new world in healthcare around, as you indicated, standardization. No two departments, no two office practices, no two clinicians are the same. However, you still have to come to some common ground of standardization with regards to flow. So realistically, I think in our organization as a whole, you know, optimization of our EMR really kind of held us accountable to look at standardization. When you start to look at the communication center, to enable that great experience and that intense patient engagement, you really have to make sure those workflows from start to finish are standardized. And again, you know, within reason of the fact that we know we have to be a little bit unique here and there, but you do need to standardize. So really, we have really just begun, again, as I said earlier, but started to really dive into the trenches and really start to understand from start to finish what those flows look like, how we can better use the resources we have to help out through those workflows. You know, a great example, Fran, is when a patient calls to get an appointment. We have nurses in our communication center. We have scheduling agents in our communication center. How do you do it currently, and how should you do it down the road? Should you look at the workflow at the office side? Absolutely. However, how can, again, we push the work from the office to here? So, again, in the infancy stages of that, but going through each and every workflow, trying to figure out how we better utilize in an effective and efficient and in a customer service-oriented manner what we have to make that workflow seamless and effective.
Yeah. You know, when I also look at all of the processes that you're working on, I think there's a couple of ones that I want to point out. One is you're beginning now to develop a quality assurance and a QA program. And I know that some great technology is coming in that's going to allow you to use speech analytics that will actually listen to every call, convert the spoken word to text. And what it does is it looks into like buckets of language. So, for example, if we're looking for politeness or empathy, it'll be able to score that call and say, this was a great call because we know that empathy sounds like this, and we know that satisfaction sounds like this, but more importantly, from a patient safety perspective, we can ensure that the right questions are being asked to ensure that the patient is receiving great care. So from a QA perspective, Mary, help us understand what you're relying on that program to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, quality, obviously, in the healthcare industry has always been prevalent. And when you start to look at quality, often in our world, you think clinical, which obviously top priority needs to be. But what we've also, I think, realized is that quality is bigger. It's very inclusive of that, but it's much bigger than that. So what we're really trying to establish is a quality program for our communication center that's all-encompassing, number one. You know, we co-located quite a few different departments, if you will, together. And, of course, everybody had their own venue and idea is around QA. However, what we've realized is that really needs to be more of a support model for our entire department, because it has to be that entire experience that comes through. So quality, yes, by all means is clinical, but it also offers you opportunity for other things, such as, you know, your training, the direction your training program's going. It helps you to identify opportunity with regards to your agents, just in their tone. And again, you mentioned the technology will do some of this for us, but, you know, the ability to listen and to understand and to help and coach and mentor and guide folks on the best way, the right way to talk to folks, making sure that we have the ability to actually let them partake in that. It's bigger than just the clinical piece, so it's really allowing us to expand across the continuum of the communication center.
And I really like that you're including and incorporating that whole feedback and coaching piece that just doesn't say, hey, I've listened to a call and don't do that again. It's really about how do you coach them and how do you provide that feedback in a way that's meaningful, that allows them to actually improve, and it's not a punitive program. That's so important.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Can't be punitive. Typical call centers, I'm sure, much similar to us, again, not always having the right people in place, sometimes not the right technology. You've got to give the agents a chance to get where they need to be. And oftentimes we go through training that is more system and technical, but it maybe not be conceptual and more soft skills. So really important that QA really drives a lot of that in a positive manner, by all means not a punitive manner. QA in a call center is hard because it's typically recording of calls. And we know how agents feel about that, and it's kind of scary for folks. So it's very important that you roll it out in a way that's not punitive, that it's used to coach, that it's used to mentor, that it's really used in a positive way.
So we've talked about what I call the three Ps: people, process, and technology would not be a P, however. And I want to talk a little bit about measurement. So thinking about how you've become more data-driven, talk a little bit about how decisions are being made now with some reports that are really helping you see the big picture.
Absolutely. So I think each of our independent groups have done a great job historically with tracking of data. But oftentimes, I think all of us as leaders forget to really understand why we started to track it to begin with. And quite honestly, we often get caught up in how it represents us and how the outcomes look, if we're good or bad. And what we lose sight of is really, is it actionable data? So one of the things that I think that Cingala, along with the hardworking team here, has been able to do is really start to change the way we think about data. We have a lot of it, but what are we doing with it? Is it actionable? Is it meaningful? Do you need to track it? Because if you don't, why are you? And so, again, a little bit of a cultural shift and transformation around that, but doing that and kind of putting more of a laser scope on what's important to track versus tracking everything has really opened up and identified for us areas of opportunity, low-hanging fruit, and really some quick turnarounds for some of our initiatives.
Well, Mary, it's been a fascinating discussion. We're approaching the end of our time today, and I know it's still early, but how is Rochester Regional benefiting from centralization in your new communication center?
Absolutely. So we have actually already begun to see some of the ROI. With that, I think most of it's coming from efficiencies. We've already had some duplicative work go away where maybe the practice was doing it and the center was doing it, and we've been able to integrate the workflow so that we're not doubling our efforts, if you will. So really right there as well, we're also starting to see some of the benefits just from the synergies across these folks and really starting to shift the way folks are thinking, as well as I think that data tracking piece, because, again, it's allowed us to hone in on some of the low-hanging fruit.
Well, again, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed you being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Aww.
Great pleasure.
Thank you again. Well, this is going to conclude our show today, but it's Centralization Month at Cingola Consulting. So please visit our website at cingolaconsulting.com for more information on the topic, both through our blog posts and our articles from other industry leaders. And as always, tweet us at Cingola, CONSLT, if you'd like to continue the conversation. Talk to you then.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at cingolaconsulting.com and stericyclecommunications.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize your investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.